for each one of us. How many of you would agree today that you can still grow in some areas of your life? How many would agree with that? 10 of you. All right. Praise God. Well, you're going to grow. If you hear God's word, God's going to cause you to grow in spirit, soul, and body. Amen. And the good news about God is God is never finished with us. God loves us too much to leave us the way we are. And the truth is, for all believers, the best is always yet to come. No matter what you've seen accomplished in times past, generationally, in corporate realms, or even singular realms, there is always the best is yet to come upon this nation, this city, this planet, and your life, your family as well. I believe that for you. Today I want to talk about dealing with emotions. We're getting involved in the realm of the soul because God wants us to prosper and be blessed. 3 John tells us to be prospering, be blessing, even as our soul does prosper. So if our soul is not prospering, our soul is not growing, it actually affects our body, it affects the growth of our life, it affects our destiny, it affects everything about us. And so we're going to talk about emotions today, how we can see our emotions become under the blood of Jesus Christ. I believe God has some good things in store for us also at the close of this service here. God's going to be very, very specific directions on what to pray about today. So we're going to believe God for some real good breakthroughs as well during this service. I want to give you a story here about a person who actually was a coach living out there in a place in a small town in East Texas. He had a team, a football team, that had been losing games now for 5 years in a row. And they didn't see any more wins coming on the horizon. This team was not very good. They failed at practice many times. They were just kind of too small. They had teams around them that were bigger than they were in almost every dimension. And they were losing all their games for 5 solid years. Well, on this team was a senior. And his father was a millionaire who owned a big Ford car lot there in town. He actually felt in his own heart, I want to do something to motivate these guys to actually win their homecoming game against their biggest rival coming to town in a couple of weeks. So he told the team, he said, what I'm going to do here is, if you guys can win this game against this team on homecoming Saturday or Friday night, I'm going to give every single player on the team a brand new Ford car, free and clear. I'm going to also buy every coach on the team also the same brand new Ford vehicle, fully loaded, free of charge. Well, these guys, of course, got pumped up, got excited there, began drooling about these cars, putting the picture of the cars all over their lockers, all over their walls, all over their bedrooms. They began to practice overtime. They began dismissing classes during school to have more practice time as well, began to strategize, began to get pumped up. The cheerleaders there are just cheering and clapping and going on, and their emotions got just to a fever pitch, and the game finally comes on the Friday night, and this team loses 38-0, getting stomped in the ground once again. The moral of the story is emotions won't win games. It still takes something beyond our emotional makeup to make things break loose, to make things happen of lasting fruit upon the earth. Amen? Now, emotions can help out. Emotions will help us out, but they will not always make things take place and happen. Though our emotions may be strong and right, it seems like God does not always honor our emotions as well. God honors His Word. God honors His promises. And God brings forth again what He wants to take place as far as His kingdom goes. And it's not going to be taking place by emotions most of the time. All of us in this room have emotions, of course, ourselves. Some of us have got what's called damaged emotions. And I believe God wants damaged emotions to be healed up by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen? Let's read here again, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Starting here in verse 23, and it says, Now may the God of peace Himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I mentioned last week here about how that word preserved, it actually means there's forces around us all the time that are battering us and trying to take and destroy us somehow in our body and in our soul. Now the good news is Satan cannot touch your spirit. Your spirit man is washed by the blood of Jesus Christ. The death angel will always, always pass over the doorpost of your heart every single day. Satan cannot steal and cannot destroy your spirit whatsoever. But he can bring vexing to your soul and to your body as far as what we allow him to do ourselves in our lives by disobedience, by some curses from the past perhaps that have been dealt with. These things, though, can all be cut off, can all be improved, can all be healed by the power of Almighty God. In fact, Jesus Christ himself, again, his first message says, I've come to bind up and to heal what? The brokenhearted, those in their souls whose souls are damaged and whose souls are wounded. I have come to bind up and heal their wounds, says the Lord. I pray to God the Tree of Life Church becomes identified more and more as a place of divine healing for the souls of people. Not just bodies, but also even the souls of people that have gone through abuse, that have gone through neglect, that have gone through damage somehow. I know that God is still here today to heal and bind up the wounds of broken-hearted people. Amen? And we all know somebody like that. We are triune beings. I said last week that God made us to be a person who's made of spirit, soul, and body. And God wants us to be strong in spirit, but also strong in soul, and also strong even in body. The truth is, we can be strong in spirit, yet somehow find our emotions are out of control. Our soul, again, is made up of mind, will, and emotions. That's the soulish part of our body. And our soulish man can be damaged in some way where our spirit man is strong, but our soulish man is somehow kind of weak. You know, back about 10 years ago or more, I was going to a place called Fort Portal, Uganda, which is out there on the very far eastern borders of Uganda, and I think it was Zambia, where they filmed the movie called Gorillas in the Mist. That's the place where Dr. Goodall did all the work among the apes and among the monkeys and among the gorillas there for many, many years in the jungles. And they're going to give us a tour there of that jungle area to see those mountain gorillas one day. But unfortunately, our leader named Dale Witt, who's passed on and being the Lord right now, he had an appendicitis attack. An appendix was starting to burst inside of him, and he had to go through an emergency surgery there in a jungle hospital and be actually airlifted out by a small Cessna airplane the day after his surgery to go back to Nairobi and get more help and more care there. Well, on this trip was actually his senior pastor from Rockwall, Texas, was joining him, and this senior pastor already does not like flying at all in big airplanes, let alone little bitty Cessna aircraft. But he said, I want my pastor with me when I fly back out of this place, back to Kenya, Nairobi. I want my pastor by my side. And he felt an obligation there to be with his own congregation members. So, of course, this pastor now feels obliged to go ahead and be in this small little aircraft taking off from a little pasture between two mountains. And this guy is as white as a sheet. This guy, this pastor's spirit is strong. He's full of faith. He's a powerful preacher. He believes in healing, signs, wonders, and miracles. But he was so petrified that day in his soul, he wouldn't even say goodbye to us. Wouldn't lift his head up. He was white as a sheet. Praise God, that airplane took off safely. Got him into Nairobi, Kenya. That pastor gets back to America once again. He says, that is the last missions trip I take in my life. The Bible says, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. God wants our soul to be strong and to match our spirit as best it can as our life goes on. That's why God's word says the path of righteous people is like the light of dawn that shines brighter and brighter and brighter until the full day. God wants your soul to be bright, victorious, strong, courageous, and full of His power, His might, and His glory every day of your life. Our thought life also is important, but equally important is our emotions. It's what expresses our passions in life, expresses our desires and our drive in life is all coming from the emotion and the soulish realm of our lives. Also, emotions have a lot to do with what we know about each other. Where we go in life is also tied with our emotions, our soulish realm in our lives. Emotions also are different between men and between women. We saw this Brother Gunger's illustration that was shown last week on video that shows very strongly in a nutshell how men and women are both wired totally differently. Women have got this great amount of wires in their brain that goes all different directions here. They can multitask very easily. Men have got compartments and boxes there. They try to pull one out at a time and do one thing at a time. Amen? And men do sometimes many things one at a time very, very good, very strongly, but God made them with their own strengths and their own weaknesses. I read a study that was done. There was several years ago back in a big corporation. They're trying to get the men and women to work together in better harmony. So they did a research study about the men and about the women there, and they said, write down on paper here, it says, what you feel are the emotions that move you and are important to you, and then write those emotions down, men and women, and then explain those emotions also on the same piece of paper. Several hours and hours go by. They collect these papers. I think it was actually the next day, finally. The men turn their papers in. The men had written down 11 emotions they identified on paper, and they explained them in 4 minutes. 4 minutes. Women wrote down 85 emotions, and they explained them in 6 hours. 6 hours. Men and women are wired a little bit differently. Amen? It's not always cut and dried, black and white, as far as the female race is concerned. But again, God took the rib out of Adam's side near his heart because God knows, put them both together, and it creates a great 1-2 punch against the powers of darkness. We need each other in the earth, in the body of Christ, even in marriage as well. I praise God. I'm not going to give any gay jokes at all. I'm going to tell you guys again that God's as man and women together for a purpose and a reason, even beyond the realm of the spirit, the realm of the soulish, the realm of the body as well. We need each other as male and female on the earth. Amen? May it ever be that way till Christ returns. Dr. James Dobson, we all heard of him. James Dobson's research also shows that most children's emotions are actually made up and framed by age 5. That's why it's so important, again, to not expose our children from 0 to 5 years old to a whole lot of violence or a whole lot of depression or a whole lot of poverty speak and poverty talk and so forth, or things of rejection or things, again, of neglect. These things will help to frame the child's emotional makeup the rest of their lives. Now, again, the good news is, though, if you find yourself being a person like that, that was had a very, very negative childhood from 0 to 5 years old, there is also still soundness and healing in store for you by the power of Jesus Christ himself. But there's many folks who have not yet been healed up from all the things they've suffered at the hands of their own parents and mentors and grandparents or whatever from 0 to 5 years old. God wants our soulish, emotional realm to be whole, healthy, and strong, to be those that are well-rounded for him in this hour and in this season. With emotions, we have the potential of expressing ourselves purely also with our emotions. Emotions are not a negative thing only. They're also a very, very positive thing. Emotions can actually display Jesus Christ in a very, very pure, very attractive, very desirable way in this life. Amen? This past week, again, Cheryl and I went and saw with our daughter Sarah. Sarah's cardiovascular surgeon helped to save her life several times about 6 years ago now on May the 5th and through May whatever. We had this time where she went through 3 emergency surgeries. This man helped to stop bleeding in her body. He was actually going to attack you and take her life and kill her if the bleeding could not stop. And what Cheryl actually wanted to talk to him about one-on-one about in gratitude, she said, I appreciate that back there 6 years ago when we had nurses around us, one nurse in particular, almost in our face, screaming at us and saying, this may kill your child if she goes in surgery this day. We had this calm vascular surgeon doctor in his late 50s, early 60s saying, I believe I can do this. I believe it'll be okay. My advice is get the surgery done right now. Get it done today. He was calm. He was collected. He was cool. He was not at all involved in emotional trips at all. We prayed to God. We had a peace from God upon our lives as well. We said, go ahead, do this surgery. And through that, of course, with God's grace, God's help, God's intervention, God saved her life through what that man did that day. Sometimes our emotions, hopefully all the time, must be under the control of the Holy Spirit and not just by adverse circumstances around us in life. Amen. I saw a movie recently also about a man whose name was Jackie Robinson, the guy that played for the Brooklyn Dodgers back then. The first African-American baseball player for the National Leagues was Jackie Robinson. Very, very good movie. And it talks about how we've come a long way since then as far as prejudice and racial inequality goes in our nation as well. What I appreciate about the movie was, though, his manager, the guy that owned the Brooklyn Dodgers team that actually brought him on the team, the first African-American man to be there, he said, Jackie, remember one thing. No matter what you do in a negative emotional realm, it'll always be your fault. Whatever you speak out of your mouth to retaliate back, to fight back, as they bring to you racial slurs, as they try and hound you and try and bug you and get under your skin, don't let them do that. You stay calm. You stay cool. You don't fight back. And in due time, you're going to find you'll win the battle in the long run. Praise God. Jackie heard that advice. Took that advice and did that. He had all kind of bad things come against him all the time, every game for weeks and weeks and months. But he pressed on through and he kept his cool and he kept his calm and he paid the price for many, many folks to come after him now and bring equality to the place called the National Major League Baseball Network across our entire nation. I'm saying there's always going to be a reward for keeping our emotions and our soulish man under the control and the power of God himself in our lives. Look now at 2 Corinthians chapter 3. 2 Corinthians 3 and verse 18. It says, but we all with unveiled face. What's that mean, unveiled face? The word unveiled face actually means to take on a new mind. Repentance means what? It means a change of mind. All of us, you have a new mind now, unveiled face. That new mind is that we now follow the kingdom of God's rule, not our own rule, not our own nation's rule perhaps, but God's kingdom rule. With unveiled faces, we behold as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, and we are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of Almighty God. That's what Cheryl was even saying this morning, the same kind of verse she gave here, I think the same book as well, is we are being conformed and transformed into the very image of Jesus Christ, God the Father and the Holy Spirit, not your natural Father, but your earth or heavenly Father who lives forevermore. You're being formed in His image, transformed by His power every single day of your life. Amen? Look at this word here, transformed. Transformed has the same prefix as words like transport and words like transaction. You think about transporting something, it means that something that you want is now in this place. You want it now to go to a better place. It actually can be functioning better and find its destiny there. So if my furniture is in Star Furniture Show House Showroom there, I want to get it transported from their place into my living room that it might function better, and be glorified in my house, not in some warehouse in the backside of San Antonio, Texas someplace. Amen? And so to transport means it goes from one place to a better place. It goes from glory to glory and actually begins to function now in a better way. Also, think about the word transaction. Transaction means the cash I have can't feed me. I cannot eat my dollar bills and receive nutrition from that. Amen? I need to go to HEB and do a transaction with my dollar bills and buy some bread and some milk and some good nutritious broccoli and onions and all kind of vegetables there and give them all to Cheryl. No, I'm just kidding. But I'm saying we cannot eat our cash. We got to make a transaction to trade one thing for a better thing. To make that thing go from transformation, from one glory to a better glory, that it might be used now as a blessing for God's kingdom on the earth. The word transformed means God formed us at birth into His own image and likeness as a human being goes, but that by the power of the Holy Spirit now, He is causing us to go from a new glory into a new strength, into His image, into His likeness every single day, more so and more so as we live and move and have our being on the earth. So it's telling us here we are being transformed into the same image of God from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of Almighty God. Your emotions, your soul is being transformed as you allow God to form you in His image and likeness in your life. God does not want your life controlled by your emotions. He wants your emotions controlled by the Lord. Amen? Let's go on and read here. Ezekiel chapter 36. Ezekiel 36 verse 26 goes on and says, I, the Lord, will give you a new heart. The word heart there is a word for soul. And put a new spirit also in you. I will take the heart, the soul of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart, a soul of flesh. It says here God can give us a new heart or God can give us new emotions in our lives. I want my emotions to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. I want my emotions to glorify God, not glorify my flesh, but glorify the Lord. How is it that a couple who were madly in love 3 years ago, 2 years ago, 1 year ago, have now gone through a hardening in their heart toward each other and can't even hardly be in the same room together? They're now in front of marriage counselors saying we have no feelings for each other whatsoever, and we want a divorce. How can that take place? Well, Jesus Christ said, because of the hardening of your hearts, these things take place inside your life. The truth is, in this couple's life, 3 years have gone by, 5 years have gone by, maybe there's been some abuse take place. Might have been adultery take place. Might have been some lying going on. Might have been some great financial pressure happening behind the scenes or in front of the scenes. Might have been in-laws acting like outlaws. on Facebook and in family dinners and Thanksgivings and so forth. All this time, things are going by that's causing a hardening of the hearts. And what was one time passion and love and roses and all things were glorious and grand, we now can't hardly stand to be in the same room together. We want to get a divorce. Many factors lead to a hardening of people's hearts. And the Bible even says in the last days, because of the increase of wickedness, the hearts of many will grow hard and cold in the last days. We're seeing ungodly folks around us getting more and more hardened in their hardening in their hearts as time goes by. Folks are getting more selfish. They're getting more self-preserving. They're getting more self-centered. This is all going to take place before Christ comes back. But the church must be different than the world until Jesus Christ returns. May his fire burn stronger in us. May our hearts grow more tender. May our hearts of stone become hearts of flesh in these last days. Amen? Ezekiel, this verse here shows us that God has the ability to take away the hardened, stony ground and give you a heart, the Bible says, of soft, pliable, teachable flesh that's good for God to ply in his hands and make in his image and make in his likeness. I thought about on Friday here the parable of the sower. And it says there was four kinds of soil where the sower sowed the seed that Jesus Christ gave in a parable in the Gospels. And it says in one of the instances here that one kind of a soil was stony ground. He said, on stony ground, the seed of the Word of God was sown there. And it says it sprang up immediately, but then it withered. Why is that? Because of lack of moisture, lack of water, lack of soft, watery things to make that thing grow and grow and grow and put down some roots so it could remain. The Spirit of God began to speak to my heart and said, tell the people on Sunday morning that by the washing of the water of the Word, hardened hearts don't happen. How do we, if we are a Christian today and we don't find ourselves enjoying praise, enjoying worship, enjoying reading the Bible, we don't enjoy our prayer time, we don't enjoy God's presence like we used to, perhaps even years ago, how do we solve that in our lives? It's by the washing of the water of the words of your mouth. I encourage you guys, if you're like that at all in any part of your life, get along with God like an emergency. And just start giving God thanks and praise for all that God has done for you and the earth. Just tell God how good he is, how kind he is, how much I love you, God. Lord, you're awesome. Lord, you're gracious. Lord, you're kind. Lord, you are just. There's none like you, God, upon the earth. Just let the words of your mouth talk about how good God is, how worthy he is. Begin to give him praise out of your mouth, and God will send forth a spiritual shower to start softening the heart that's hard inside of your soul. Amen? The same thing's true about your wife and about your husband. If your wife can't stay in the same room with you at all without getting mad and angry, if you find there's a great distance between you guys, there's a hardness going on, a coldness between you guys as far as husband and wife goes, use the washing of the water of the Word to bring a softening back in your spouse's heart once again. Tell them how good they look, how fine they are, how nice their dress, their blouse, their jewelry, how much you appreciate their work, their service. You appreciate who they are, their personality. Let those words come out of your mouth that brings forth a washing of the water of the Word, and watch how their heart will begin to be softened as time goes by in your life. Amen? Because what happens many times is you've cut off the words you gave back in your dating season, back in your courting season, back in your honeymoon season. Those words have gone, and you've lost that loving feeling. It's like an old song says, amen? Amen? The washing of the water of the Word. No matter how hard or how distant your relationship is with your husband or wife, it can be healed in Jesus' name. And it starts with your words of compliments, affirmation, things of graciousness, things of kindness, things of goodness. Let your words be seasoned with salt, because salt causes thirst, and thirst brings forth a drinking of water, and it softens the soil every time. That's the word I want you to hear today. If you'll get anything else this morning, get that word. Use your mouth first to speak words of life, words that are gracious to God, to the Holy Spirit, to Jesus Christ, to your wife, your husband, your children, wherever hardness is at, let it start with the Word of God out of your mouth coming out of life and not death. It also means cutting the words of death off, bringing words of life in their place. Amen? There's three things I want to talk about this morning, three things about emotions we're going to talk about this morning briefly here. Number one, emotions motivate us. Emotions motivate us. These are all take-home points, so write these things down perhaps as well. Emotions motivate us. Jesus Christ had emotions about the lepers who needed healing for the leprosy. Because of his compassion for them, the Bible says he began to act motivated towards them, laid hands on them, prayed for them. Leprosy was gone. He also had emotions about Lazarus. The Bible says Jesus wept when he heard about Lazarus being dead. And he saw the sisters crying, weeping, and wailing for their dead brother. Because of compassion, emotions, Jesus Christ heard what God the Father said. God said, wait for 4 days, then go. Didn't go by emotions, went by the Word of God. But then compassion, emotions were there under God's control, and he healed and raised up Lazarus from the dead. He also, the Bible says, wept over Jerusalem. He had emotions toward Jerusalem. He said, oh, if you only could know, your hour of visitation is here right now among you, but you would not receive your Messiah. And he began to weep and cry with emotions over Jerusalem, knowing in the near future they'd be totally wiped out by the Roman armies and go through tremendous pain and grief in only a few more years down the road. He also had emotions about the thieves in the temple. He overturned those tables and said, you made my father's house a den of thieves. He had anger come on him, but he only did things again under the direction, the power, and the might of God his Father and the Holy Spirit. The emotions that Jesus Christ manifested, they served him and they served God. They did not serve his own selfish, fleshly ambitions in his life. Amen? So your emotions of anger are not always bad. Compassion and feeling sorry is not always bad. If it's under the direction of God's Spirit, it can be used for a good, powerful, mighty tool to bring forth divine breakthroughs. Even when God's hand is with that and God's on that emotion, it can bring forth some great breakthroughs for God's glory upon the earth. Amen? Emotions are the driving force of our life, driving us to go ahead or pushing us even backwards to retreat because of a thing called negative emotions. So number two is emotions direct us. Emotions direct us. How many folks know that shame and guilt and despair and depression will direct us and determine us, our responses, in negative ways, not positive ways? I found that these things of depression, despair, anger, and so forth, these wrong emotions, actually put that veil back over our face once again, because our mind is not now the mind of Christ. Our mind is now the mind full of who did what to me, who hurt me, who wounded me, who wronged me, why am I feeling this way, why am I involved in self-pity? And our minds are full now of negative emotions, negative thoughts, and negative controls, and the veil goes back over us once again, and then dryness and leanness of soul always happens after that. Almost all backslidden people are people who have let their minds and their souls give place to negative thoughts, negative speech, negative actions, self-pity, anger, bitterness, and unforgiveness. It puts a veil back over your face once again. I want that veil to be ripped in two every day of your life. Amen? Ravi Zacharias is a great theologian who's on TV sometimes, written many great books about the proof of Christianity, the proof of God's Word being accurate and true. Ravi Zacharias, he said, I've identified four kingdom dynamics that all believers must walk in to stay victorious in their walk with Jesus Christ. Four kingdom dynamics. And one of those is divine wonder. Divine wonder. You ever heard that before, perhaps? Divine wonder. Have you ever heard that song? We all heard the song in the past that says, O Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands have made. I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout all the universe displayed. How great thou art. The person that wrote that song was full of divine, spiritual, anointed wonder of what God has done in the universe and on the earth by his hand, his love, his power, and his might. And God is saying to you and I, if you have no wonder about what God's done around us in your life, lives of believers around you, the earth, creation, so forth, there's something missing in your Christian walk with Jesus Christ. When I got baptized in the Holy Spirit back at age 20, I fell in love with God head over heels for the first time in my life. 9 years a Christian, but I fell in love with God personally for the first time, head over heels in love with Him. I began to look forward to going to restaurants and praying for my food to show off God. I look forward to reading my Bible on airplanes to show off that God exists, and I love Him. I had no shame for God in my life whatsoever. One thing that took place in my life that really amazed me was I walked out of my house the day after I got baptized in the Holy Spirit, and I began to see the leaves on the tree in our front yard. I began to examine how they were made with intricate veins, and there were spots and splotches, and there were limbs coming down. And like the Holy Spirit said, isn't God wise how He made this leaf, how He made this branch, how He made this tree? I began to have divine wonder and awe at God's creation for the first time in my life. That's why it is so satanic and so, even to me, sad. This whole theory of evolution, that somehow by amoebas and by divine circumstances over billions of years, all things came together in creation just by scientific happen chance as years go by. We serve a creator, a designer, a God of wonder who has made the entire universe and all of creation intricately as a wise master builder and artist. And we should have wonder at God's creation, at God's work, at God's hand, at God's movings, at what God does upon the earth. Amen? There should be divine wonder in our lives. When sin came on the earth, it corrupted our spirits so that we no longer had God's nature and God's character working in us the way it did before man sinned on the face of the earth. Our mind, our will, our emotions also were corrupted by the fall of mankind. So number three, last point today, number three is emotions can be restored. No matter how much our soul or emotions has been damaged, God can heal our emotions. God can heal our souls, and God can bring soundness back to us once again. Through salvation, we have potential for God's image to be restored back into our lives in complete manner once again. Amen? Not just the sweet by and by, but the here and now, God can heal our emotions, heal our soul, and give us soundness once again back into our lives. There's four categories this morning, four categories in our emotions that might need restored or transformed in your life today. My life, your life. Let's think about these four things today. We're going to pray at the end of this service here and believe God to speak to each one of us the way He wants to and do a work in our lives that only God can do. The first number one thing about God might want to restore and transform today, number one, is a thing called emotional brokenness. Emotional brokenness. God can fix what is broken. God can mend what is ripped and ruptured. God can take what man is trampled on by his own feet and bring forth beauty out of ashes. And God can do it beautifully and wonderfully in His own way. We can all show compassion in this room today for people like Ginger Gibson, who has a cast clear up to her shoulders after she shattered her elbow only a few weeks ago in a fall. We all have compassion for folks being wheeled in here in wheelchairs with broken legs, broken feet, broken backs. We can see their pain right there in front of us. Amen? I folks also realize that there's folks in this room today that have got the same kind of pain working in their soul, but they're masking it, they're hiding it, they're covering it, but the same pain is there inside that we're seeing sometimes on the outside. The good news is Jesus Christ has come to bind up the brokenhearted and to set the captives free and to heal those who are wounded in Zion with the balm of spiritual Gilead as only He can do. Amen? Second thing we want to see transformed is imbalanced emotions. Imbalanced emotions. That includes us going through a thing called mood swings. Some folks are like divine, spiritual, or emotional yo-yos. They're on fire on top of the world one day in the Molly Grubs the next. We say, what person is going to show up to work today? Is it Dr. Jekyll or Mr. Hyde? We don't really even know there. They're going up, they're going down, they're over here, over there. God is saying there must be somehow, some way in your life, by my power, by my grace, a thing called divine consistency in your emotions and your soul. Amen? God can bring consistency to you if you let God have control of your life. Amen? Third thing, uncontrollable emotions. This means flying off the handle at the wrong time, the wrong place, and way too often. Amen? I like what Dr. Phil said on his show one day. He said, a lady would kept on butting in, cutting him off, and saying inappropriate things at the wrong time about his counsel in their situation with their family. Dr. Phil finally stopped her and said, "Ma'am, my dad gave me a very, very wise saying that I live by even to this day. He said, 'Son, don't ever miss a good chance to shut up.'" I'm going to say it again. "Son, don't ever miss a good opportunity to shut up." And that has got to be in our lives also. That's practical, common sense advice. Sometimes just be quiet. Pray it before you say it. Amen? To your kids, your wife, your husband, your whatever, I'm saying pray it before you say it. Don't fly off the handle. Watch your tongue. Watch your mouth. In your tongue is a power of life and death. Use your tongue for life, not death, with God's help. Amen? Number four, negative emotions. Negative emotions include depression, despair, despondency, and things of an all kind of negative nature. I was amazed that when I was reading the paper in the sports section, I think it was on Friday morning, the man who's from Spain named Sergio Garcia is playing in the Masters golf tournament this weekend. This man was in first place on Thursday after the first round. They do four rounds of golf Thursday through Sunday. The Masters is the biggest golf tournament of the whole year. And Sergio Garcia was actually winning the tournament in the first day. The interviewer asked him, "What's going through? What do you feel like now being in the lead of the Masters tournament on the first day out?" Sergio says back to him, "Well, I hope I can keep that lead. I tend to mess up many times, and I tend not to do so well, and hope somehow, some way I can pull this thing through and kind of just, you know, somehow close to the top somehow, some way." Well, now 3 days has gone by, and Sergio is so far back in the score, he almost has no hope at all to win the Masters tournament. I'm not saying his words only is what caused it to take place there, but you cannot be a person who's basking and bathing in depression, despair, and negative talk and expect to receive what God's best is for your life. Amen? God does his part, but God says also, you need to do your part. Give me something to work with, what God says there, and try to speak words of life, words that are positive, words that are gracious, words that align with what God says in his word, not negative, depressed, despairing words coming out of our mouths. All of these emotional states can lead us to an addiction to drama, because drama brings validity to manifesting a negative emotion or to venting those emotions somehow in our life. I want to kind of break this down. What I mean by that is, you've all seen a thing called drama queens. Or drama kings, either one. Amen. Male, female, makes no difference. There's drama kings, there's drama queens out there. What identifies a drama king, drama queen? They like drama. They want something to happen bad somehow around them all the time, because when it happens there, they finally have something to vent about. And so they actually like it when it seems like they almost enjoy seeing somebody fall into sin or get involved in some kind of a bad deal in their finances, their lives, whatever else, so forth, so on. Because when that happens there, it says, all these bad emotions, I can now vent them on Facebook, telephone calls, letters, lunches, conversations there. I can now release this fire pent up in my bones. But God says to Ezekiel, it needs to be a holy fire inside of our bones that's being pent up there that I got to release somehow in a good, righteous, and just way. Amen? God does not want negative emotions to be the identification of your own life and your own bones and your own anointing inside of your own life. He doesn't want drama queens and drama kings to be who you are in your life by your emotions. Amen? That's why we have drama kings and drama queens, because it actually gives them a vent from all those negative buildups in them of despair, despondency, depression, bad self-image, whatever else there. They can vent those things out by things of drama around them in life. What God says, rejoice with those who rejoice, but also weep with those who weep. Don't rejoice over those who weep, and don't weep over those that rejoice. He says, do the opposite. Identify with them as I identify with them is what God says. Become like I am, not like your grandfather was. Not like your negative mother was, perhaps. Be like I am is what God is saying there. And seek the drama that comes from God's kingdom, not from the realms of the flesh around you upon the earth. Does that make sense to you guys? Drama queens, drama kings, you'd be put out of a job and become kingdom kings and kingdom queens in Jesus' name. How many of you realize that God is able to bring you out of an emotional wreckage in your life? How many realize that? I'm going to have James come back to the platform now and help me out here, James, as I close this in a moment. I want to say that God does not want us living in frustration and negative emotions all of our lives and ending up with less than what God had planned for us on this short life we live on this earth. I thought about three men in the Old Testament, three prominent people who had a hardening of their hearts from bad emotions that ruled their lives. Their names were Samson, Jonah, and Elijah. Remember how Samson, the Philistines, killed his wife. And he said, I now have the right to get revenge on the Philistines for taking my family and my wife's life. I will now spend the rest of my life avenging myself of what was done against me on the earth. The sad fact was he lost his eyes, he lost his life, he died at a young age. He killed many Philistines, yes he did, but he did not live God's best because his heart became hardened by the deceitfulness of revenge and anger, bitterness, and unforgiveness. Then you see Jonah went to Nineveh, and God put on Jonah's life an anointing to evangelize and see a whole city turn from sin into righteousness. Jonah should have rejoiced by that, but Jonah says, I knew, God, you would cause these folks to repent and you'd save their lives, and I wanted them all to get wiped out and killed. Please, oh God, just take my life and just kill me. I cannot bear to be alive one day longer. Praise God, Billy Graham's not like that. Amen. Praise God, when folks get saved in the Billy Graham Crusades, all the folks rejoice and are glad. They don't want to go out there and kill themselves. But I'm saying to you guys, because of his own prejudice, his own hatred, his own anger, his heart was hard. He did not receive God's best. I believe what God had for Jonah was to disciple the Ninevites and be their pastor and be their mentor and be their leader. But he would not obey what God's word was, will was, because of hardening of heart. Look also, last of all, at Elijah. Elijah the prophet runs from Jezebel, and he sees in his own spiritual mind his own head being cut off. And he goes up there on Mount Carmel, I think it is, and says, God, now just take my life, wipe me out, just kill me now, because my life is no better than anybody else on the face of the earth. And God says, I have reserved over 400 prophets who have not bowed their knee to Baal. I also have Jehu and Elisha, full of my fire, power, and might. And those two men killed Jezebel in 1 minute. See, the answer was right there in Elijah's own backyard. But he could not see that because his heart was hardened by fear, self-preservation, self-pity, and being totally worn out in his soul by the work he had done to kill those prophets of Baal only a few days before. As James plays here this morning, here just softly, I'm going to ask you guys to just, again today, bow your head, close your eyes for a moment. I'm going to pray today for, first of all, for people that are in this congregation who may not be close to God, near to God, like God wants you to be. What God is saying today is we need to deal with our emotions in a godly, righteous, faith-filled way. That my emotions will be coming under the control of the Holy Spirit. They will not rule my life, but my spirit man shall rule my emotions and my soul in the name of Jesus. God wants you to know that emotions are not bad. They're good. They're even neutral. But they become a good thing when they're actually matched with obedience and zeal and love for Almighty God. God will use our emotions to move mountains, to motivate us to reach nations, help us to reach our neighbors, help us to be those who have compassion for the sick, the diseased, the poor, the down and out. Those emotions God placed in us are actually part of God's nature and God's character as well. But God wants our emotions baptized in the Holy Spirit. And controlled by the Holy Spirit. And formed in God's image and God's likeness, not our own. Because everything Jesus Christ did emotionally was under the control and direction and obedience of God the Father and the Holy Spirit. While your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed this morning, I want to ask first of all today, is anybody in this room a person who'd say, Pastor Mike, even Father God, I sense my heart is hardened. My heart has become cold. My heart is not what it used to be with the fire and the zeal for God that I sensed in times past. And I want this heart of stone to become a heart of flesh. I want my heart to be softened. I want that fire to burn inside of me once again. I want God's presence to be known inside of me the way that it was a few months or years ago in my life. And I realize myself there's things I can do and things I should be doing to help fan that flame and bring forth that softening and let God do the work inside of me that He wants to do. But I've been holding back. But I want to say this morning, I will hold back no longer. But I will reach out to God first, even today. And I will say, Father God, take this heart of stone. Give me this softened heart of flesh in its place. Because, Father God, I want to know Your presence like I have in times past. Well, your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed. Would you be honest this morning? If that's you today, would you just raise your hand for a moment? Raise your hand real high. See, that's me, Pastor Mike. Anybody else? Be honest. Anyone else? Anybody else? Be honest. Praise You, Father God. Thank You, Lord. I see hands on the left, the right, the center. God, appreciate Your honesty, because the first step to us always being healed up and having God move in our lives is confession and agreement and honesty with God. I'm going to ask all to please right now. Let's go ahead and all stand to our feet. And I'm going to have those that raise your hands right now to stay where you're at. I want to lead the entire congregation right now in a prayer before I go to the next step today. I want us to pray that God would take and soften our hearts and help us to be people that are not ruled by our emotions any longer. We are ruled by the power of the Holy Spirit. Let's just ask God, those that raise their hands up as well, that God would take and remove their hearts of stone. Give them hearts of flesh. Pray for yourselves right now, if you would, please. I'm going to pray with you also a prayer of agreement. Let's pray together. Now, Father God, I thank You, Lord, that You're the one that's here today in this service, that You're the one, God, moving by Your Spirit, giving us, O God, Your instructions, Your word, Your truth, O God, Your light, and Your revelation. I pray for those, O God, whose hands were raised up, and those, O God, whose hands were not raised up, but also say right now, Father God, I sense my heart has become hardened in some areas. I want, Father God, to have this softened heart of flesh. I don't want to sense, O God, a deafness or a coldness anymore inside of my own soul and my spirit. But I want to see, oh God, that fire rekindled. I want to see, oh God, that zeal come back. I want to see intimacy, God, restored once again in my life. Pray for yourselves right now. Ask God to do that. Ask God to take this heart of stone away. Ask God to remove hardness, remove bitterness, remove anger, remove everything that hinders you. Ask God to take that from you. Father, forgive me for words I've spoken, criticisms, lies, vengeful things, angry things, hurtful things. Father, forgive me, cleanse me, wash me, O God. Help me, God, to be one who speaks life over my wife, my husband, my sons and daughters, my peers, fellow believers, O God, my co-workers, my neighbors, my family and relatives, O God. Help me be one who speaks words of life and not death. In the name of Jesus, I don't want the veil back on my face again, but I want to have a change of mind. And I want to have, oh God, a strengthening of soul. And I praise You, God, for this. Thank You, Jesus. Well, you're still standing up today. I'm going to ask all those today, the Spirit of God spoke to me very clearly, and He also confirmed this word at the first part of this service, that He wants all people that are here that are suffering pain in your bodies. It could be from arthritis, pinched nerves. I don't care what it's from. If you're suffering pain in your bodies, I want you to step out of your seats right now, come to the front, and just stand up here side by side. I believe God's anointing is here today to take and start healing people of painful things and causing pain to diminish. Even as James was here prophesying and speaking to his own wife, he was picking up on what the Spirit of God was already loosing here in the atmosphere of this place. Donna's gone through migraine headaches, pain in her jaw, pain in her neck, back of her neck, nerve problems. There's others here that are the same way yourself, and God wants you to understand that you don't need to be identified by that pain any longer. All I can do today is pray a prayer of agreement with you. Whatever's causing that pain is going to go in Jesus' name. I cannot promise any symptoms. I cannot promise how instant God will work. All I can do is agree with God and say, God, this pain must go Your way, Your power, Your might, Your glory, Father God, because Your word is yes and amen, that by Your stripes I am healed. I'm going to have Cheryl join me at the front here, help me out. And I'm just going to go up and down here, just lay hands on folks quickly, pray for you guys quickly. As I pray for you folks, I want you to be praying for yourselves. You might want to stand back. It's about 1 foot back here. And I want to get down here on the floor. And I want you guys that are out there, if you can, stay here for a little bit longer. Reach your hands, your faith out towards these people right now. If you do that, let's ask God to do a total work and a healing inside these bodies and lives as only God can do.